Is the time of mercy over? That next on Countdown to the Kingdom. Hello, I'm Mark Mallett from Countdown to the Kingdom and thenowword.com. And I am not joined by Professor Daniel O'Connor from Albany, New York. And here's why. The past couple of weeks, something good happened. The restrictions here in my province lifted. And so we were able to get together with our family. So we had all our kids over and our grandkids. I took pictures because I forgot what they looked like. And so that was nice, but it made it kind of impossible to have a webcast when you have screaming babies in the next room. And then the other thing is our colleague, Christine Watkins, she did a video and she dared to quote a scientist. I know. She dared to quote a scientist who then gave his opinion. He dared to give his opinion. And as a result of this atrocity, YouTube suspended Queen of Peace Media, our channel, for a week. And so until today, we haven't been able to post any videos. And so we were sent to the back of the classroom and there was no recess the entire week. So anyway, we've learned our lesson and it won't happen again. So anyway, that's kind of what's been happening the past couple of weeks. But also during this time, Daniel, who is studying for his PhD, he is a professor teaching philosophy as part of his college, and he has a young family, has decided to take a step back, some space and time. And I don't blame him. But Daniel, I know that you'll be missed by our viewers. And just know that we're praying for you. And we thank you for your prayers too, brother. All right. Well, this show today, I'm on my own. And I apologize for that too. But you're stuck with me. So today we're going to look at what I just said in the beginning of the show. Is the time of mercy over? And the reason this question is being asked, by the way, is because of a message that was given to Gisella Cardia, who is a seer again from Italy. And in a message to Gisella on March 6, Our Lady said, "Now, my children, today the time of mercy has closed. Invoke the Lord so that he would have mercy on you. I offer my tears for you." So Our Lady, again, as we've heard in so many messages, is weeping. We've seen it in the statue of that Californian soul, weeping profusely, oil. Gisella, the image, actually, it's right here on our screen, an image of blood, of Jesus, rather, weeping blood. And I don't know how current this image is, but that is the image that was weeping blood. And heaven telling us something that's kind of extraordinary, that the time of mercy has closed. Now, some of you might be asking, okay, well, what are you referring to? What do you mean exactly by the time of mercy? And very well. So I'm just going to take you over to our website here at countdowntothekingdom.com. And we have a timeline of events based on the early church fathers, St. John's vision in the book of Revelation, and kind of composed by a bit of common sense as well. And you'll see in the middle of your screen, there's these tabs that explain the various tabs that you see in the image above. And we're just going to go right now to the first seal. And in this first seal, we describe this time of mercy that we're living in, that we have been living in for quite some time. In fact, I think over 100 years. And the reason for that is that in 1917 at Fatima, the three children saw an angel with a flaming sword about to strike the earth. Then our Blessed Mother appeared, and the light emanating from her, that is from her intercession, stopped the angel, who then cried out three words, "Penance, penance, penance." And with that, the world entered into a definitive time of mercy. Now, we know this because in the 1930s, Jesus appeared to St. Faustina, and she said, "I saw the Lord Jesus like a king in great majesty, looking down upon our earth with great severity. But because of his mother's intercession, he prolonged the time of his mercy. Jesus said, 'I have eternity for punishing these, and so I am prolonging the time of mercy for the sake of sinners.' But woe to them if they do not recognize this time of my visitation. Let the greatest sinners place their trust in my mercy. Before I come as a just judge, I first open wide the door of my mercy. He who refuses to pass through the door of my mercy must pass through the door of my justice. And so, brothers and sisters, it's pretty clear that something was stopped at Fatima, some sort of chastisement, and then we entered into a time of mercy, Jesus said, due to the Our Lady's intercession. And, you know, Pope Francis said in 2014, he said, "Hear the voice of the Spirit speaking to the whole church of our time, which is the time of mercy." But now we have this message from Gisela Cardia essentially saying that this time of mercy that we're in is now closing. But we need to be very clear that the time of mercy closing does not mean that God's mercy closes. Now, God is mercy himself. He has been mercy from the Old Testament. He's been mercy through all time because he's eternal, and he will be merciful throughout the end of salvation history into eternity. God is mercy. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So obviously what is being referred to here is a time of mercy, which means an extension of grace and a period of grace and reprieve from the justice that is coming. And Jesus says, whoever doesn't pass through the door of this time of mercy must pass through the door of my justice. And as we have pointed out time and again on our timeline at Countdown to the Kingdom, this time of mercy is going to give way to a time of justice. And it's ultimately the day of the Lord. And I can't stress enough that this day of the Lord is what the Church Father said is not a 24-hour day. It ends up being, it begins in vigil, essentially. It ends up going through the night, the darkness until the dawn comes, and then the brightness of the day. And we've talked about that. So I'm going to move on. But what we're saying is, Our Lady is saying right now, is that the times of this justice seem to have arrived. And we have now heard this in several messages from heaven, including this message from Our Lady Azaro to Angela. And she says, the trial has now come. She says, dear children, I am once again among you. Children, these are times of prayer and penance. These are times of conversion and return to the Lord. So right there, you're hearing Our Lady saying, you know, God's mercy hasn't ended. But what has ended is that time of reprieve that you were given since Fatima. And now the trial has come. She says, I increasingly ask you to form and to nourish with the Holy Rosary cenacles, pray so that the storm awaiting you, you know, if you look at that graphic again, that's why we chose a storm like a great hurricane, because it appears in so many private revelations. And she says, pray that the storm awaiting you might move away from your families. In every cenacle, I am there, she says. Hear that? When you gather as a family to pray that rosary, she says, I'm there, giving you peace and love. My children, the trial has now come, and it is for everyone. But remain firm in faith. Children, when you feel tired and oppressed, do not be discouraged, but take refuge in prayer. Feed each day on my Son, Jesus, who is refreshment for the soul and for the body. Those of you right now who are in lockdowns, I'm sure that is hard for you to hear. In the part of the world where I live, you know, it's daily Eucharist isn't even available. But she's saying, for those of you who it is, receive the Eucharist. And of course, our daily bread is prayer also. And so right now, she's saying, when you feel tired and oppressed, don't be discouraged. Take refuge in prayer. You know, Jesus told us, he said, pray for your daily bread. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And so you need to go to Jesus. You need to make time every day, not just for supper or dinner or lunch. You need to make time for prayer. You need to go to Jesus. Let him give you the daily bread of grace and strength. I can tell you, I'm a witness. If I miss my daily prayer, I can feel it now in my soul. There's something that happens. And I go into that daily prayer sometimes when I'm tired. There's so much weight on my heart of what's going on in the world and this apostolate and each of you watching. I carry you in my heart. And I go to prayer and Jesus gives me strength. And I don't know where it comes from. I don't know how that works. I just know God does it. You know, when you look at a tree and a grapevine, do you see the sap flowing? No, you don't. But you see leaves, you see fruit. But there's sap flowing there. And that sap is the Holy Spirit that when we enter into prayer begins to flow in your heart and give it life. And that's what Our Lady is saying to us. She's saying, you need this. Because she's saying that the time of the great trial is now here. There's that beautiful painting, Star of the Sea by my daughter, an absolutely gorgeous painting. And I chose it for this because we need to remember Our Lady has been given. Let me just scroll to the bottom of this message. Our Lady has been given as the refuge and the protector, in a sense, over the church. You know, Saint Joseph is the great patron of the church, but Our Lady is the refuge that God is giving us to protect and look over the church. And, you know, she's that one in this time of trial who has been set in enmity between Satan, her offspring, and his offspring. And in this message given through that Californian soul, she says, the time of the great trial has now come. And she says, the hour of its great trial has above all come for the church because it will be shaken by the lack of faith, obscured by apostasy, wounded by betrayal, abandoned by its children, divided by schisms, possessed and dominated by Freemasonry, which we've talked about, turned into fertile soil from which will spring up the wicked tree of the man of iniquity, the Antichrist, who will bring his kingdom into its interior. That is the interior of the church. Our Lady, what she's saying here is there will be an anti-church. And you have to understand that the true church is built on the rock of Peter. And that's why I keep saying to you over and over again, despite some of the ambiguities and confusion our dear Holy Father has caused, and he has, he remains the vicar of Christ who holds the keys of the kingdom. You have to remain in communion with him. And I think as a gift, in a sense, to the church, we saw that true magisterium of the church come forward this recent week. You know, I'll just go to that message by Pedro Regis, who Our Lady often says to him, as she did in this other message again on March 6th, she says, do not allow half-truth to lead you away from the path of salvation. Be faithful to the true magisterium of the church of my Jesus. And a lot of people ask us, they say, well, what does she mean, the true magisterium? You know, what is that? And once again, the magisterium is not a document. Although in this beautiful message that was given, a powerful message given to this Californian soul, Our Lady says, this is interesting, a special gift of my Immaculate Heart for these times of yours is the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which my Pope, John Paul II, has wished to promulgate to be, as it were, his shining last testament. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church is a document of the magisterium, but the magisterium is the Pope and those bishops in communion with him. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And this week we saw a beautiful example of this when the Vatican stated very clearly with Pope Francis's blessing and endorsement, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith was asked a question. And the question was this: does the church have the power to give the blessing to unions of persons of the same sex? The answer was no. Now, I want to just say right now, that is not a change in the church's teaching. The church has always taught that the definition of marriage established by God in sacred scripture from the beginning of time is that a man and shall cling to his wife, and the two shall become one, and they are to be fertile and go forth and multiply. That's God's plan. God set them at the head of creation to go ahead and to fill the earth, to multiply and to be the stewards of creation. And that is his plan, and to bring creation to perfection through them. And so the Vatican says it is not licit to impart a blessing on relationships or partnerships, even stable, that involve sexual activity outside of marriage. That is, outside of the indissoluble union of a man and a woman, open in itself to the transmission of life, as is the case of unions between persons of the same sex. And so it's not possible. The Church says it cannot bless sin. It can only bless that which is ordered to God and which God has declared to be good. And so, you know, the Church even, I think it was very generous in their statement where they say they recognize there are positive elements to those relationships that some people have in gay relationships. You know, people write me, folks, who are in these unions and they're trying to, you know, they're struggling because they're in this union and they're with a partner. But as we've heard recently, and I can't remember his name, a celebrity, you know, he said, I'm choosing now to live as a brother now with this person because I want to follow the teachings of Christ. And, you know, that doesn't just apply to people who are struggling with their sexuality and entering into these gay unions or tempted by them. It applies to heterosexuals who are also tempted to enter into relationships with their neighbor's wife. And by the way, this statement by the Church also applies to men who want to have three wives or women who want to have four husbands. No, it's between a man and a woman. And here you see, brothers and sisters, you're seeing the true magisterium of the Church coming forward and speaking the truth. And you heard in that message to that Californian soul, Our Lady warning that apostasy and schism, we're on the very threshold of it. And we've heard this in several messages now. And sad to say, the German bishops are saying, oh, wait a minute, no, this isn't really case closed. It is case closed. Just the way that women's ordination was closed with John Paul II. And by the way, Pope Francis affirmed that. So we're seeing now fomenting division and schism that is coming from the pride of men who do not want to submit to the teachings of Christ, which are not these laws that bind us to unhappiness and misery. God's laws give us life. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he said, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be in me. Well, that's not what he said. I'm butchering the scripture now, which I'm prone to do at times, but that my joy may be in you, he said, and be complete. That's what God's laws do. His divine will is our life. As Jesus said, it's our food. So, brothers and sisters, we're hearing from heaven that we have entered into this time of change, and it's going to be marked now by certain events. And one of those events, and this was extraordinary, came this week. The seer Luz de Maria and Gisela, both within 24 hours, got essentially the same message. Something to do with the sun. St. Michael the Archangel said in a message on March 4th to Luz de Maria, you see the sun splendidly radiating its light in the sky like everything in creation. It is stirred up. Now, let me just stop there and tell you, this is important because even St. Paul said all creation is groaning. It is awaiting the redemption of the sons and daughters of God. You heard me say a moment ago that God's plan, and it began with Adam and Eve, was that the two should become one and be fertile and multiply and bring all of creation to perfection. That was God's plan, and that's what the Catechism says. God's plan is, that's still the plan, by the way. And St. Paul said all creation is groaning, awaiting the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. And I believe that scripture is referring to the fulfillment of the Our Father when his kingdom will come and reign on earth as it is in heaven. We've been praying this for 2,000 years. Jesus said to servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, I didn't teach you that for no reason. It's going to be fulfilled on earth as it is in heaven. And John Paul II, referring to these revelations, said that there is indeed coming a new and divine holiness that will be given to the sons and daughters of God. And creation right now is groaning for this. And as St. Michael says to Luz de Maria, he says, like everything in creation right now that's groaning, the sun is being stirred up and it's emanating magnetic storms and coronal mass ejections due to its eruptions. And this is a warning that our communication systems are going to be interrupted, he says, and there will also be a very strong volcanic eruption at the same time. Now, let me just read Gisela's message. Let me go back to that one. And I was reading from it, of the time of mercy has closed. Because within this message, Our Lady says, children, technology is about to be attacked by solar flares, so be ready. I mean, this really caught our attention when we saw these two messages come in within 24 hours. Because, you know, these seers, they don't collaborate with each other and they're not trying to, you know, pull the wool over people's eyes. And by the way, that whole idea of a volcano erupting at the same time, that's actually born in science. I was reading studies this week that actually show solar activity can actually cause major earthquakes on Earth. These are studies that are being shown. And it's interesting that at the same time this week, I felt compelled to publish a collaboration of messages from Jennifer. She's that American seer who gave her messages to Pope John Paul II. And about 2 to 3 weeks later, his Polish Secretary of State wrote her back and said, Jennifer, spread these messages to the world any way you can. And we hear in her messages, Jesus saying, my people, the time has come. The hour is now, and the mountains that have been sleeping will soon be awakened. Even those that have been sleeping in the depths of the seas will awaken with enormous might. My people, now is the time to strengthen your relationship with your Heavenly Father, and your relationship is only strengthened through prayer. There again, you see that beautiful call to prayer. And you can read this at countdowntothekingdom.com. I compiled several, like over a dozen, I think, messages from her, including this one where Jesus says, as you begin to see lava fall from these mountains, more evil souls will be unleashed. So remain on guard. Do not fear this time. Rather, embrace it, knowing that if you are following the will of God, of your Heavenly Father, you will be saved. And so I know we have some people watching right now, for instance, who are in gay unions or who are struggling with them or coming out of them. And just know, Jesus is saying to you, let the greatest sinners, including the heterosexual sinners, let them come to me, because his mercy hasn't ended, but the time of mercy has. And these events, we're being told by seers, are on the threshold of happening. And in fact, brothers and sisters, sure enough, the sun is awakening. And NASA is even warning there have been some eruptions, including as I'm speaking, that could potentially take out satellites. It's a fairly common warning from NASA, but it's beginning to happen. And in fact, the day after I posted this message, these messages from Jennifer, a news story came out that the largest volcano in the world in Hawaii is now awakening. So brothers and sisters, I think we ought to take these messages very serious. There are serious things coming because we are now approaching the day of the Lord. We are now in the vigil of the day of the Lord. In fact, I think we're in Gethsemane, and many seers said this past year. So all of this is tying together the passion of the church, Gethsemane, the day of the Lord, the vigil that's coming, and the time of Our Lady, the time of trial, she's saying, is now upon us. And so, brothers and sisters, one of the warnings that are coming, again, these are serious warnings coming to the church and to all of us right now. This, again, it was an extraordinary warning coming from Gisela, Our Lady saying, be careful regarding vaccines. And let me just read what she says here. And before you go run for your tinfoil hat or accuse Gisela Cardia or me of being a conspiracy theorist, let me just say, this message of Gisela, it came 3 hours or so to me after I had written a message an article citing several scientists who are warning right now, giving grave warnings about the experimental vaccines that are being used right now. It's, many of you who are following this know, you know that this is something that is being said by scientists all over the world. They're raising these concerns, and these are not Mickey Mouse people. These are people who are virologists, immunologists, microbiologists, such as in this article that I wrote and put on Countdown to the Kingdom called Grave Warnings, such as Dr. Geert Vandenbosch, who worked with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. He worked for the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, as well as Dr. Suchart Bhakti, Sucharit, I might be pronouncing it wrong, but Bhakti, he's an award-winning microbiologist and virologist. Him, and I could list several more names who are warning right now that these vaccines are going to cause autoimmune disasters. Dr. Geert, for instance, Vandenbosch was saying that these vaccines are causing the virus to mutate quickly while people's immunities are low, and this is going to produce strains that are deadly. We're already seeing a third wave of more virulent and possibly more deadly strains, for instance, in Brazil. And so what Heaven is saying here in this message to Gisela is not lining up what I'm trying to say is with the science. And so she says, Our Lady to Gisela, my children, thank you for being here in prayer. Children, I come again to warn you and to help you not to make mistakes, avoiding what does not come from God. Yet you look around in confusion without realizing the dead that are there and that will be on earth, all because of your obstinacy in only listening to human-based decisions. Many times I have told my children to be careful regarding vaccines, yet you do not listen. Now, listen, some of you might think, oh, come on, you know, Our Lady's talking about vaccines. Really? Really? Jesus cares about our bodies. He cares about our health. In fact, St. Paul said, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're not allowed to violate it. Even Pius X in an encyclical, in fact, I think I've even got it here. I'll just read briefly what he said is that according to Christian doctrine, the light of human reason makes it clear that private individuals have no other power over the members of their bodies than that which pertains to their natural ends. And they're not free to destroy or mutilate their bodies or in any other way render themselves unfit for their natural functions, except when no other provision can be made for the good of the whole body. So God does care. He does care about our bodies and us taking care of them. In fact, what Our Lady said in that message to Gisela was, I've been telling you this. And sure enough, if you go back, some of you might forget. In this writing, When Seers and Science Merge, we have a message again to Our Lady to Gisela on April 18th, 2020. She said, dear children, fight for your freedom. You are about to be enslaved by evil dictators. Beware of vaccines and all obligations, because they will not come from God, but from Satan, who wants to govern your lives and your minds. Now, listen here, I think we need to make it clear. Our Lady isn't unequivocally condemning every vaccine. Our Lady isn't, oh, and I hate this term, anti-vaxxer, a denier, a conspiracy theorist, which frankly I find are terms that are used, unfortunately, by intellectuals to actually shut down intellectual conversation. Shame on people who use those terms, because at stake here, you know what? We're talking about injecting chemicals into people's veins from corporations who are not legally liable for what they're putting in your veins and who are making a profit from it. In case you forget, in the interview of Bill Gates, he said, my best investment has been in vaccines. It's turned out to be 20-to-1 profit, he said, of that kind of an economic benefit he's getting from vaccines. Let's be clear, these guys are making money from it. And the best thing they could have in the world is to convince governments and politicians that not only should the entire global population take their vaccines, which, by the way, I think Moderna's is around $30 a pop that your taxes are paying for, but they're convincing governments we're going to need them over and over again, 2, 3, maybe 4 doses, says Dr. Anthony Fauci. And Our Lady is warning, she's warning in these messages, children, be careful. You're about to be enslaved. And, you know, that's not hyperbole. I'm hearing in my country, Canada, in Britain, in other countries, they're now talking openly about vaccine passports. If you don't take these vaccines, you won't be able to shop. You won't be able to go to the theater. You won't be able to do these things. I think that's outrageous, and it's a violation of human rights to put people, their morals like that, over the barrel, so to speak, and make it obligatory, or you can't get what? You can't go buy food? This is outrageous. And the church, our bishops need to outright condemn it, because the document from the CDF, the Sacred Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and it's worth me bringing it up right now and pointing this out. They have said unequivocally, and let's just go to it right now, that all vaccines, it says vaccination is not, let me highlight it, as a rule, it is not, as a rule, a moral obligation, and that therefore it must be voluntary. I am shocked when I'm hearing some clergy and bishops even saying that it has to be obligatory. This is the guideline right here. And yes, we pointed out in the previous webcast, the Pope saying it's a moral obligation, but that's not what the doctrine of the faith in this magisterial doctrine, document is saying. And in fact, right beneath it in that same encyclical from Pius X, he says, public magistrates have no direct power over the bodies of their subjects. Therefore, where no crime has taken place and there's no cause present for grave punishment, they can never directly harm or tamper with the integrity of the body, either for the reason of eugenics or for any other reason. He's talking here about capital punishment and so on, but he said any other reason, and that includes what I've just told you. You cannot make it obligatory. And so heaven is warning us. It's warning the church, be careful. Let's just turn again to another one of those messages, this one on January 12, 2021, to Luz de Maria. At this very difficult time for humanity, the attack of diseases created by misused science will continue to increase. By the way, I've got a growing list of scientists around the world. These aren't Mickey Mouse scientists. These are guys who know what they're talking about. I don't know. It's over a dozen now, at least 15 maybe, who are saying that this is misused science, that this originated in a laboratory where this virus was monkeyed with and accidentally deliberately, they don't know, saying it was released. And here we have this message saying misused science will continue to increase, preparing humanity so that it would voluntarily request the mark of the beast, not only in order not to become sick, but to be supplied with what will soon be materially lacking, forgetting spiritually due to a weak faith. The time of the great famine is advancing like a shadow over humanity that is unexpectedly facing radical changes. You know, I think this message should not be unexpected, because as we've pointed out in our timeline, you know, you've got these seals that, which are really the labor pains that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24. He said there would be earthquakes and famine and plague. And these are all things now I've mentioned now in the show. These would all be happening. And in this message to Saint Michael the Archangel, our Lord is basically warning us through this servant of God that humanity now is facing famine. And I'm telling you, if you know that one seal that we've talked about, hyperinflation, the third seal is economic collapse. And we know that the supply chain and businesses, we've got, you know, in Canada, I just read a statistic, up to 50 restaurants will permanently close. That's just restaurants due to the lockdown of the healthy. The reason for this is the Great Reset. And these guys at the World Economic Forum, being supported by Joe Biden, Boris Johnson, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, and many others, are saying this virus is the opportunity for a great reset, in which we will reset the economy And if you go into the ideology of it, you'll find it's neo-communism, a kind of a blend of capitalism and communism that they have planned. And the only way for this to happen is the destruction of the economy. But boy, the hardships this is going to bring. Let's continue then. I wanted to put this also in the show today, a message from 1977, Our Lady to Father Stefano Gobbi, talking about this misused science. She says, Satan has succeeded in seducing you through pride. He has managed to prearrange everything in a most clever fashion. He has bent to his design every sector of human science and technique, arranging everything for rebellion against God. The greater part of humanity is now in his hands. He has managed by guile to draw to himself scientists, artists, philosophers, scholars, and powerful enticed by him. They have now put themselves at his service to act without God and against God. And, you know, if she's warning us about the Antichrist coming, this is really what the Antichrist is. He's basically the incarnation of this pride. He is the personification of it, where he will not serve. I will not serve God. And he puts himself in the place of God. And humanity is doing this collectively now. We're saying we don't need God. We have science. We can create life. We can alter life. We can genetically modify life. And we can take life. And we've put ourselves in the place of God. One more message then, warning about these vaccines. Heaven warning. This one comes in December 31st, 2020, from God the Father to Father Michel Rodriguez, Canadian mystic. In this message, the Father says, Satan is going to attack the physical body of my children, whom I created in my image and in my likeness. Satan, through his puppets who rule the world, wants to inoculate you with his venom. He will push his hatred against you to the point of compulsory imposition that will take no account of your freedom. All of these seers on this page are essentially saying the same thing over a span of several decades, or in most of them, several months or weeks, warning us that these vaccines are being used in a way that's going to harm the body and it's going to take away our freedom. And we are certainly hearing this, as I said to you just momentarily ago, scientists around the world warning this. And you have many doctors now also starting to come out and say, wait a minute, there's not a lot of evidence-based science for the continuation of these lockdowns, given a 99.5 or higher recovery rate. And so a lot of warnings, and we've talked about this before. I don't want to go any further than that, but we're hearing it from heaven. And we ought to take it seriously, because heaven is telling us this time of mercy is now over and we are heading into the time of justice. You know, I mean, some of these prophecies, some of you might hear them and you're uncomfortable with them. And this past week, I wrote a meditation that I want to refer to you on countdowntothekingdom.com. It's called Prophecy in Perspective. What do you do with some of these prophecies that speak of solar flares and vaccines and so on? You know, how do we approach these things? And how do we approach prophecy in general? And I've cited here popes as well as great theologians on the subject of prophecy, how to discern it. I mean, can you ignore it? Can we just outright say, hey, it's private revelation, I don't need to listen to it? The answer is no. So read this article to find out why that is. It's called Prophecy in Perspective. Well, brothers and sisters, I think I've covered my ground and everything I wanted to say. I'm just looking at my tabs open on my computer. I think that pretty much summarizes it, but I think the main points you need to take away from Our Lady in this, again, she's saying prayer is your strength, the sacraments. In another message here, she said, go to confession. She said, there's no sin too great for my son Jesus to forgive. And that is so true. You know, we're getting letters from people saying that they're converting through these webcasts and Countdown to the Kingdom. People are literally converting and coming back to God. And I'm so grateful to hear that. I'm grateful to be privy to hearing that. And I'm just a servant of the word. I'm a servant of these words, which, you know, are allegedly from heaven. And I say allegedly because we need to discern them. And the church is the final say on these. And I'm just here helping you to read them, and I think to draw a greater, striking me as the author of The Now Word, which is my website, thenowword.com, and where I'm writing things based on what I'm meditating upon the mass readings and what I'm hearing from the popes, and putting that into the realm of understanding that what is the now word of God in these times. And so I just want you to know that if you're someone out there who's being stirred in your heart by what you're hearing here, I want to tell you, there's not a lot of time in a way. And I'm not saying the end of the world isn't coming. What is coming is an era of peace. It's beautiful what's coming, but we have to go through these labor pains. And Jesus, in another place in the gospel, says, you know, the labor pains, you know, a woman, she's focused on the pains and it's hard, but when the baby comes, she soon forgets her pains. Something beautiful is coming. And as I said earlier, it's the fulfillment of the Our Father, when the sons and daughters of the divine will, those who live the Our Father, are going to be revealed. And we're even going to see it impact in some ways creation, according to many mystics. Beautiful messages. So that is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. That's the triumph of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And yes, Jesus is coming. He's coming, as you see on our timeline. Jesus is going to come, and he is going to depose that beast. I just got to zoom out here so you can see it. He's going to depose that beast, that Antichrist that is coming. But I want you to understand that Jesus is not coming to reign in the flesh. That's the heresy of millenarianism. No, Jesus is coming to reign in an all new manner in the church, this coming new and divine holiness. So these are exciting times. And I want you to know it's not too late. As we hear in the Gospels, you know that gospel where the workers start at the beginning of the day and they work all day and they get paid a wage. And then some other workers come at the end of the day and they get paid the same wage. And the first workers are complaining like, how did that happen? You know, how did we get, you know, we were kind of getting ripped off here. And Jesus says, you know, basically in the parable, hey, if I choose to be merciful and to be generous to one, what is that to you? You got paid what you deserve. I just want to say to you, if you're a late comer, if you haven't been to confession in years, you need to go. I want to do a meditation, in fact, on confession. I hope to do a podcast on this for you. You need to go to confession. Now, listen, if you're watching and you're not a Catholic and you're not able to participate in the sacrament, God can still hear you. You know, the proper path, the proper course, of course, is toward the church, to become a member of the church, because Jesus established the Catholic Church despite all her flaws and sins and what you see, the sexual scandals. Yeah, you know what? In the beginning, when God called the 12 apostles, one of them was a Judas. There's been no perfect church since the very beginning of time, when, you know, a Pentecost, and when Jesus declared the church into existence. And so brothers and sisters, even Peter, after Pentecost, made mistakes that St. Paul had to correct. The church isn't perfect, and I'm the perfect example. I am not a perfect Christian. I'm a sinner who needs the mercy of Jesus as much as any of you watching this right now. But here's the good news. It ain't too late. And if you've been living in mortal sin and in a very dark past, if right now you're addicted to pornography and you are acting out in ways that are horrific, you're the one that Jesus is looking for. Just as Jesus had 1,000 people, thousands of people following him, but it was Zacchaeus he looked for, and he found him up in that tree. Some of you are watching this program and you're like Zacchaeus, you're up in that tree. You want to take a look at what I'm doing, but you don't want to get too close to what I'm doing. And I want to tell you in the name of Jesus, Jesus says to you right now, come down. Come down from that tree. I want to dine with you, he says. It says in Revelation chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I am knocking. Whoever opens his heart, I will come in. You know, the best thing about Jesus is it's always takeout with him. He's always bringing the takeout. He comes in and he brings the food. And his food is mercy. His food is the balm of forgiveness. His food are the words that say, I absolve you of your sins. I go to confession almost every week. I try to go every week. And those words heal me. They deliver me from darkness. Exorcists say that in confession, more people are delivered from evil spirits in confession than in exorcism. You need to go. You need to go regularly now, at least once a month, go to confession, and you need to pray daily. You need to open up the Word of God. I promise you, those of you who your hearts are stirring, the Bible is going to become alive for you. It's going to jump off the page for you. The Muslim who's watching this right now, open the Bible and begin to read the Word of God, and you're going to hear Jesus speak to your heart, because He died for you too. Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of the world. He's the only mediator between us and God. There's no other way to salvation except through Jesus Christ. Our Lady, me, the saints, we're all little mediators. But all of what we do is through the mediation of Christ. Otherwise, it's useless. And so turn with trust to Jesus. There's time. If you have breath in your lungs, I always say if you've got breath in your lungs, there's time. Let's turn to Him. But you know something Jesus said? Is that Our Lady, He's giving us Mary, the mother of the church, His mother. She's the mother of the head of the church, who is Jesus. And she's also therefore the mother of the body of Jesus, which is the church. And Jesus is saying, you need to take her. She is also your mother. And she is also your ark in these times. And as she said to us at Fatima, she said, my Immaculate Heart is your refuge and the way that will lead you to God. And so I want to close this time with you, brothers and sisters, with the beautiful Psalm 91, because in this psalm, you hear what happens when you enter into the refuge, and it is so relevant to these times. It says in Psalm 91, you who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shade of the Almighty, say to the Lord, my refuge and fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will rescue you from the fowler's snare, from the destroying plague. He will shelter you with His pinions, and under His wings you may take refuge. His faithfulness is a protecting shield. You shall not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that roams in darkness, nor the plague that ravages at noon. Though 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, near you it shall not come. Because you have the Lord for your refuge, and you have made the Most High your stronghold.